All right, Billy, it is a blessing to see you, my brother. Praise God. Yes, even his doctor calls him the miracle man. What a blessing. The miracle man. Thank you, Jesus. Today, our text is 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. The past weeks, I've been dealing with the subject of writing your name on the promises of God from the old H.H. Booth hymn that says, "All the rivers of your mercy I claim, upon every promise write my name." Write my name on the promises of God. We sang today, hold on to the promises. There's an old hymn, "Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let his praises ring, glory to the highest, I will shout and sing." How's the rest of it go? I'm standing on the promises of God. That's right. We're standing on the promises. Write your name on the promises. Claim them, seize them, hold on to them. Do not be shaken loose from them. Today, I want to talk about the promise that nobody claims. That's correct. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 12. The Apostle Paul says, by the anointing of the Holy Spirit, right? Amen. Yes, and some that will... A few that, many that, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Paul says, yea, and all that will live godly. Is it your goal, your aim, your desire to live a godly life in an ungodly world? And here's what the Lord tells us. All that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. The context here is Paul is exhorting these Christians to persevere and Timothy to persevere. He says, if you back up with me to verse 10, he's reminding Timothy, he says, you have fully known my teaching, my manner of life. You've known me. You know how I live. You know what I've taught. You know my motives, my purpose, my faith, my patience, my love, my long suffering. He also mentions verse 11, the persecutions and afflictions that came unto me. And notice, not just once, or not just in one place, but the persecutions and afflictions that came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. Remember, Paul was not the most popular preacher around. Amen. He was persecuted for his faith. He was threatened. He was repeatedly arrested. He was beaten with rods. He was stoned. He says, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Hallelujah. Out of them all, the Lord delivered me. And then he says, yes, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. So don't think that persecution was only for the apostles, that it's only for a select few. Paul says it's for all. All that will live godly. Now, you want to live worldly? The world loves its own. Remember what the Lord said. The world loves its own. But if you're going to live godly, that means you are salt in an open wound. You are light in the darkness. Remember what the Lord said? John 3. This is the condemnation that has come into the world. Light has come into the world. And the world, men love darkness rather than the light because their deeds were evil. Amen. Light came, men don't like the light. They like the dark. Why do you think, you know, in your ballroom days, they were all dark. All the ballrooms are dark, right? No stark lighting in there. All dark. I remember the days when we did the nightclub thing and all of that. It was always dark in there. All who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. He says, verse 13, don't worry, because this world is going to become a better place for all of us. It doesn't say that, does it? No, it says, but evil men. The word there, by the way, is sometimes translated vicious. Sometimes it's translated wicked. But it's evil men, bad men, wicked, vicious men, and seducers. We know what seducers are. They are the deceivers in the world. Evil men and seducers will wax worse and worse. That is, they will grow increasingly wicked. Our world will become increasingly more wicked, more vile, more vicious, more violent, more cruel. It will wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. What do we do about that? He says, verse 14, you continue in the things that you have learned and have been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. That is, you continue. You just keep on in the Word of God, keep on in the truth, keep on as a servant of Christ, keep on loving one another, keep on keeping on, holding fast to the faith. This, beloved, is the promise that nobody claims. All that live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Amen. You know, we are living in a time when we are experiencing a rising tide of persecution right here in our own country. Amen. Not just the subdued behind the scenes persecution, but wide open, in your face, active persecution that specifically targets Christians right here in the United States, all over Europe, in the United Kingdom. My brother Roger Harris over in England, who has been distributing our material over there for many, many years, Roger sent me some sites to click on to show what's been going on over there in the United Kingdom. And in two particular cases, street preachers have been arrested. Now, these are just guys who are out preaching the gospel, witnessing, preaching, declaring Christ, arrested. They were arrested both times, two different people, but both times they were charged with using homophobic language. Now, when they interviewed these guys, the police brought them in, questioned them. One case, they held them for 5 hours. Another case, they kept them for 11 hours before they released them. But at no time did either of these people go out preaching, blasting homosexuals, saying your lifestyle is sinful. They didn't do that. They were just preaching the gospel. And somebody asked them, what do you believe about homosexuality? And he just told them, here's what the Bible says. And for that, because one person went and told the police, that guy's using homophobic language, they were arrested. Wow. How about that? There isn't a whole lot of tolerance in many parts of the world, and I want you to know that kind of stuff is not restricted to across the ocean. It's coming our way. It's seeping into the very fabric of American society as well. In the United States, you know that many Americans have lost their jobs because of their faith in Christ. You know that, right? Yeah. Once we'd have never thought this was possible, but in the past couple of years, many Christians have lost their jobs simply because they believe the Bible, simply because they are Christians. Some of those have been high profile cases, as with Atlanta's fire chief, Kelvin Cochran, who was fired for his Christian faith. basically fired for his Christian faith. He is not allowed to have the opinion that homosexuality is sin. Even though he didn't declare it in the fire department, didn't matter. You hold that belief in private, you get fired. In another case just recently, I think I mentioned it not long ago, a Dr. Paul Church, a very prominent urologist in Boston, and this guy is well respected in his field, he saw that the hospital that he is a part of, on a staff of, this hospital has been actively promoting a pro-homosexual agenda, like getting the hospital involved in homosexual Olympics and gay pride and gay this and gay that. And here's what he said. Can I read something to you? Sure. Listen to what he said. He cited to the board at the hospital irrefutable medical evidence that high-risk sexual practices common to the LGBT, that's lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgendered, LGBT, that the high-risk sexual practices common to that community lead to a higher incidence of HIV, AIDS, STDs, sexually transmitted diseases, hepatitis, parasitic infections, anal cancers, psychiatric disorders, and that's not even the tip of the iceberg. It leads to more alcoholism, drug addiction, depression, suicidal behavior. It is known, documented fact, those who practice a homosexual lifestyle cut 20 years, at the very least 20 years off their lifespan. It's as dangerous as smoking a couple of packs a day. But there's no warning label, you see, that comes with these things. And that's why this urologist, I mean, this is his field. So he said, should the hospital be promoting this? Here's what they said. Your admonitions about homosexual behavior constitutes discrimination and harassment, and they are offensive to the hospital and its staff. They cannot be tolerated. He was fired. Wow. He appealed and lost. Look. This sort of thing has become commonplace. You are not allowed to even say it's dangerous. It's dangerous to live that lifestyle. Oh, no, you can't say that. In an age of political correctness, your rights are trumped by the rights of the LGBT community. As you know, many Christian-owned businesses have been forced into bankruptcy, forced to close because of their Christian convictions. And whether or not you agree with their convictions, like the bakers who said they refused to bake a cake for a gay wedding, Christian bakers, their conviction is, I can't violate my conscience and bake this wedding cake with two little males on the top of it or two little females on it. I can't do that. It violates my Christian conscience. Whether you agree with their stance or not, the old America, that is the America before the last few years, allowed men and women of Christian convictions to act in ways that did not violate those convictions, that did not violate their faith. It's why we have laws in America that allow for exemption from military service if people are conscientious objectors. And there are, you know, Mennonites and Quakers and numerous other Christian groups that do not believe that they should serve in the military. That they'll pray for the military, pray for their government, but as far as picking up arms and going to war, they don't believe that that's what a Christian should do. And our country accommodates men of sincere faith, men and women of sincere faith, and allows them to make, you know, to take that exemption. However, we see things changing dramatically in this modern culture. I find it interesting that Christians in particular seem to be targeted in many of these ways. You know, a Muslim, y'all mind if I talk about this? A Muslim, for instance, that wears a hijab, even covers their entire face, only their eyes poke out. They are allowed to do that. Even though in many, many, many cities across the United States, it's illegal to mask and to cover your face. That's illegal to go around in public like that. However, if you're a Muslim, you get this exemption. You're allowed to do that. Isn't it interesting that what would happen to your son? Let's say you got a 12-year-old son, a 13, 14-year-old son, and he goes to school with a big old knife in a scabbard hanging on his belt. What do you think would happen? He would not just be, say, you know, son, you can't wear that to school. You know, turn that knife in. We'll give it back to you when you leave. Is that what they'd do? No. They would call the police. It would be a police matter. You would be investigated. Your parents would be investigated. They'd want to know if you were a terrorist. They'd want to know who you were trying to kill. Unless you're a Sikh. Now, if you're a Sikh, they are allowed to carry a knife in school on their belt because it's part of their religious beliefs. They call it the kirpan. And you can carry a knife if you are a Sikh to school. And even communist California allows them to do that. Yeah. There are numerous accounts of Muslim-owned bakeries, Muslim-owned florists that have been asked to bake cakes for homosexual weddings, and they refuse to do so. Refuse, absolutely refuse to do so. How many lawsuits were filed? Zero. How much did you hear about things like that in the media? None. That's correct. It's targeting Christians. I've got an article here. I'm not going to take the time to read it, but I brought several articles that I brought about. Here's one that I thought was very interesting about how Muslims get a pass, but Christians are targeted. I want you to listen to this. In Cleveland, Ohio, they were having gay Olympics. And the homosexual community bought ads on taxi cabs to promote the homosexual Olympics. The Muslim cab drivers said, absolutely not. We will not allow those ads on our cabs. How many of them got sued? Did you read anything about it in the media?
No.
Suppose it had been Christian cab drivers. What do you think would have happened? You would have been on the news every day. Every day, all day, been in the newspapers. They would have been sued. All the Antichrist organizations would have been clamoring for these Christian cab drivers' heads. They would have been... They'd have lost their license. They'd have lost their registration.
Everything.
The Muslim cab drivers just kept right on driving their cabs.
Wow.
No problem. What do you think about that? It's that Christians are being specifically targeted, and all others get a pass. There's another situation, another case that arose where Muslim delivery drivers refuse to deliver beer in their delivery trucks. The Muslim delivery driver said, no, we're not delivering beer. We're not delivering alcohol. And they sued their employer and won.
Wow.
Can't make them deliver beer. Now, what if it had been a Christian cab driver, a Christian delivery truck driver? Well, How about this? The new laws. I think the country's lost its mind. What about the new laws that allow boys to shower and change in the girls' dressing rooms. Oh, yeah. This one also being promoted by the same Antichrist LGBT community. In Palatine, Illinois, a student who decides, now you could be a boy, you'll have the anatomy of a boy, have all the stuff boys have, none of the things girls have not had any operation to change anything. If a boy decides, I identify as a girl, the courts have demanded that this school district allow those boys to go into the girls' bathrooms and shower there and change there with the girls. And when the school district said, we're not allowing them to do that, the court said, we will withdraw funding from this Illinois school district. We demand that you comply to these rules. Now look, the whole country's lost its mind. Evil men and seducers will wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Does your Bible say that? Yeah. It seems like common sense has become an endangered species in modern America. In Ireland last year, 2014, a pastor by the name of James McConnell was preaching in his own church. And in his message, he said, Islam is an antichrist religion. It's a satanic religion. He was brought before the police, questioned for hours, and now faces charges for, well, I wrote down what the charges are, grossly offensive messages through public communication. Now wait, he's a pastor speaking in his own church.
Wow. Crazy.
The left-wing media, of course, accuses him of Islamophobia, and they love to make Christians look like bigots. They love to make Christians look like ignoramuses, and so this poor guy, they have made him look like a horrible human being, because in his church, he said Islam is a satanic religion. I'll tell you what, we believe Islam is a satanic religion. We believe Buddhism is a satanic religion. We believe Hinduism is a satanic religion. In fact, we believe that all those doctrines, 1 Timothy 4:1, in the last days men will depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. We believe all those things are demonically inspired. Over there, he got arrested for it. He's facing charges for it. Of course, after, the events of a couple of days ago in Europe, I'm wondering if they don't throw that case out and maybe they'll agree with him, But isn't it interesting that the right to free speech is being trumped by, what do you call that even, political correctness? That you can't say the truth anymore? The truth can't be spoken?
Amen.
Here's what the Lord says. Can I read a couple of verses to you? John 15 and verse 18. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. John 15, verse 20. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me.
Amen.
You know, in Matthew chapter 10, why don't you turn there with me? I want us to look at a few verses in Matthew 10. These are some of the words of the Lord himself. He did not say that we would escape persecution or hatred or ostracism. He said they hated me, they're going to hate you. The servant is not above the master. They hated the master, they're going to hate the servant. Matthew 10, let's look at a few verses here, beginning in verse 24. The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master, and the servant as his Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? Excuse me. Notice, if they called the master of the house Beelzebub, you know, basically the devil. If they call the Lord the devil, what are they going to do with us? I mean, the Lord was perfect and they called him the devil. We are far from perfect. So if they called him the devil, how much more will they call us evil? Now look, all the events that happened over there in Paris these past few days, which they are laying at the feet of ISIS, Islamic terrorism. I don't want you to think for one moment that blowback isn't going to come upon even what they call fundamental Christians. Don't think we're not going to get blowback for it, because I don't know whether you realize it or not, but in the eyes of the government, we are often equated with those guys.
That's right.
Because they think we're just as dangerous. Quoting the Bible, anti-government. We're not anti-government.
No.
Just we're just against everything that is ungodly.
That's right.
Which happens to be the government, I guess. But how about this? Where are you? In Matthew 10?
Yeah.
Verse 32. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. This is not the sword of war, but the sword that will certainly come because of your faith. Those who love darkness will divide themselves from you and want you out of their midst. Even in your own family, notice what he says. You know that that's the context, verse 35. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that finds his life will lose it. He that loses his life for my sake shall find it. And he that receives you receives me. He that receives me receives him that sent me.
Amen.
War in your own house. When he talks about the sword, I didn't come to bring peace but a sword. That's all you have to do is get saved.
Yes.
Just get saved and want to live for Jesus.
Amen.
And in a pagan culture, or in a culture that is embedded in religious ritualism, you see the reaction of your family. Many times they'll think you're crazy. Many times they get angry. Sometimes they even want to ostracize you, don't want you around, because you know what? You now have become the official party pooper. Sure, because, you know, they used to enjoy all the get-togethers. Everybody drinks, gets drunk, curses, you know, lies. And now, here you are, looking with disapproval upon their lifestyle. Just shine. Just your presence there convicts them. Have you found yourself just not invited to some family things? Have you found yourself just left out? I mean, gee, I wonder if they forgot to call me. No? You aren't welcome. You with your light. Oh, they'll call you judgmental. They'll call you all kinds of names. But actually, it's just the fact that your light shines. That's all. And Christ in you convicts the devil in them. The devil in them can't stand the Christ in you. That's the bottom line, really and truly.
That's right.
You still in Matthew 10? Look with me in verse 16. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But trust all men. Beware of men. Really? Not all are as they seem. For they will deliver you up to the councils. They will scourge you in the synagogues. And you will be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. So both the religious and the Gentile world needs to be testified against. And that's your call, to testify against them by your light, by your witness, by your faith in Christ. He says, but when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what you shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what you shall speak. Boy, that's a comforting verse.
Amen.
Because you wonder, how am I going to defend myself against these charges? You know, you're being charged with Islamophobia, homophobia, whatever it may be, you know, just because you're preaching the gospel and declaring, this is what the Bible says. People are never arrested for saying what the Bible says. They give it another heading, you know. You're not arrested for that. No, you're being arrested because of hate speech. Because you're full of hate. And you don't have to worry what you're going to say when you're brought before them, because the Holy Spirit will fill your mouth. How about that? For it is not you that speak, verse 20, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you.
Amen.
And the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. And you shall be loved of all nations for my name.
Amen.
And you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. And you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. Is that a promise? Whew. And you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. What did Paul say? All who will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You will be hated. This is what God promises you, beloved. Now, you know why I think it's important that we remind ourselves of these things? Because we keep getting these crazy notions that the world's going to love us, that the world's going to like us, that the world's going to pat us on the back and endorse us, that the communities are always going to love us and welcome us.
Come on, brother.
It is not so, beloved. You are finding right now that the tide is changing. And those who are genuine Christians are sticking out like a sore thumb. In a dark world and a world that is growing increasingly darker. Darker with sin, darker with error, darker with demonism and demonic activity. The light just stands out all the more. You shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endures to the end shall be saved. Do you know right now in many colleges in America and in Canada that if you are known to be a Christian, if your Christian faith is known, you can be removed from certain classes, given failing grades, not allowed to participate in some courses, and in some cases expelled altogether? Look, I've got an article right here that talks about public colleges and universities have taken the gloves off when it comes to Christian students on their campuses. Gone are the days when, you know, Christianity was allowed to participate and so forth. He says, now it's open season on faith. Blatant, in-your-face, anti-Christian discrimination is the new norm. Christian students now face their applications being rejected because they let it slip out that they are a person of faith, receiving failing grades for daring to allow their religious beliefs to outweigh the omniscience of the educational elites, or being outright expelled for having the audacity to live in accordance with their faith. This is going on all over in America. It's an article all about how many Christians have been denied entrance into certain programs, expelled from school altogether. Christian organizations that were once allowed to participate on college campuses are now being shut down because they don't meet the new guidelines. You have to allow homosexuals also into your organization, and you have to allow them to hold positions of leadership, or you can't operate as a Christian organization in a college campus in certain parts of the country. Look, the country's lost its mind. I don't know if you saw this. Any of you subscribe to Billy Graham's Decision magazine, or you get a copy of it? I think what they have in this month's issue is actually a reprint from an article that he wrote years ago. But the title of it was that Billy Graham issued a scary warning to every church in America. I'm going to read a couple things to you. As a whole, he said, prepare for persecution. That's what he tells the church in America, prepare for persecution. As a whole, our nation does not know what privation is. We do not know what sacrifice is. We do not know what suffering is. Suppose persecution were to come to the church in America as it has come in other countries. And he notes there that living in a country like ours that has been exempt from persecution is unusual. And we have been privileged. We have lived without persecution for hundreds of years. But all that is changing, and it's changing very rapidly. Here's what he said. Christ strongly warned Christians that to follow him would not be popular, and that in most circumstances it will mean cross-bearing and persecution, and that privations will likely cause many Christians to compromise their beliefs. He said, I'm going to quote him, "It is likely that under pressure, many will deny Christ. Those who shout the loudest about their faith may surrender the soonest. Many who boast of being courageous would be cowardly," he wrote. Now, you know, Billy Graham isn't really known for a prophetic voice so much as he is for just a plain old preaching. You know, you have to be born again. But here he predicted persecution coming to the United States, persecution coming right here in this little piece of land located between the Pacific and the Atlantic. And he said there are five things Christians should do right now to prepare. I'm going to read them to you. He said, first of all, make sure of your relationship with God. Even though most Americans see the storm clouds gathering on the horizon, by and large, we are making few preparations to meet God. This is a time for repentance and faith. It is a time for soul searching to see if our anchor holds. Amen. Hey, he's right. I think many Christians see the storm clouds gathering, but most are oblivious. Yeah. Make sure of your relationship with God. So here's a question. How is your relationship with God? Are you certain that you are in the Beloved? Are you certain that you are saved, that you are one of God's children? Have you prayed and asked the Lord to forgive you of your sins? Have you asked the Lord Jesus to be Master and Lord of your life? Have you surrendered your life to Him? No more running from God.
Amen.
Now you run to God.
Amen.
Number two, He urged Christians to walk with God daily. That's right. Walk with God daily. This is not a once a week deal or once in a month deal. You know how some Christians are, you know. They profess faith in Christ, but their commitment to the Lord is very weak. He said, walk with God daily, which we give a hearty amen to. Here's what He said. If you are not strengthening the inner man or inner woman by daily walking with God now, when a crisis comes, you will quake with fear and give in, having no strength to stand up for Christ.
Amen.
Come on.
That's good.
Amen.
You know what Jeremiah 12 said? Jeremiah 12:5. He says, if you can't run with the horsemen, I mean with the footmen, if you can't run with the footmen, then how will you run with the horsemen? If you can't live right now for Christ when it's easy, how will you live for Christ when it becomes difficult?
Come on, brother.
Third, He said, read your Bible and read it deeply.
Amen.
I like that. Read your Bible and read it deeply. Don't be just a superficial, casual, you know, read a little bit here, a little bit there. You become a student of the Word of God.
Amen.
It is vitally important, brothers and sisters, that we become students of God's Word. Students of God's Word.
Amen.
Ask the Lord to increase your love and your appetite for His Word. Ask Him to increase that appetite. If you have no hunger for the Word of God, that is a mark of spiritual sickness. You know, a person who doesn't want to eat, something isn't right. A person who has no appetite. You know, what do they want to do? They want to get you back on the feed bag. They want to do whatever it takes to get you eating again, because if you don't eat, your body grows weak.
Amen.
Hello.
You're right.
Amen. That's right.
Spiritually, the same thing is true. And here's what happens in a world saturated with entertainment.
Yeah.
It's very easy to lose your spiritual appetite and let your appetite for the world's entertainment increase. As that increases, your spiritual appetite diminishes until you have no spiritual appetite. Ask the Lord, Lord Jesus, increase my appetite for your word. Give me a hunger and thirst for your word. The Bible says if you hunger and thirst for righteousness, you will be filled. So pray, ask the Lord to give you this hunger. Ask Him from the bottom of your heart, Lord, make me a student of your word. I want to know. I want to know more about your word.
Amen.
Make me hungry.
Yes.
Here's what Billy Graham said. Too many Christians today are entangled with the affairs of this world.
That's right.
Caught in a net of material interests and diversions.
Right.
Scripture to many is little more than a reference book for biblical facts. It is seldom opened and rarely relished as the spiritual staff of life that it is.
Amen.
Do not let that Bible sit idle.
You're right.
Be a man, be a woman of the Word. Pick it up, read
Amen.
It. And like Billy Graham said, read it deeply. Pray, Lord, make me a student. Look, I believe if you are able to, you ought to be here for our Bible studies. When we meet on Wednesday night, you physically able to, and I believe you ought to be here. We open up the Bible, we get deeply into the Word of God, you should be here. Now, I know sometimes people work, sometimes they live a far distance away, sometimes they can't make it. But you know, we do have it live over the internet.
Amen.
That's
right.
Yep. You're right.
Fourthly, Billy Graham said prayer
Amen.
Is vital.
Yes.
Yes.
He said, if Christianity is to survive in a world filled with materialism, the church must have a revival of prayer.
Amen.
As individuals, we must repent of our prayerlessness. The prayer meeting must become the vital institution it was when evangelical Christianity was the mightiest force in the world. Oh, amen, amen. We should be men and women of prayer. I know that not everybody can make it on Monday nights for prayer. But I do believe that a lot of times we're just lazy. And we don't consider it as important as it is. It's vitally important. It's going to become increasingly important in these last days as the storm clouds move closer towards us. Being able to get together with men and women of like precious faith and joining shoulder to shoulder and faith to faith with them in prayer is a gift and a treasure that one day you may be denied. In fact, the very right to gather and fellowship like we do so freely right now could possibly one day be denied. Don't think it can't happen here. Don't think it can't happen here. Also, Billy Graham said, Christians must put their trust where it belongs. And that would be what, the Republican Party? No, wait, the Democratic Party. No, the Libertarian Party. The Independents. No, we put our trust where it belongs, in the Lord Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad you can stand on the Word? Praise God. Don't think that Billy Graham is the only one issuing warnings like this. The professor of New Testament theology over at Pittsburgh Theological Seminary said this, Christians, get ready for a wave of persecution never heretofore seen on our shores. As individuals, people of faith will be aggressively indoctrinated, fined, denied advancement, fired, intimidated, and subjected to ceaseless verbal abuse in public and private schools, at institutions of higher learning, at places of employment, in public and private sectors, and throughout the main communication organs of the media and entertainment industry. Their institutions and businesses will be set on a collision course with the state, denied government funding, contracts, and loans, denied accreditation and tax-exempt status, and subjected to government harassment. Coming your way soon. Any of you ever heard of Jack Hayford?
Yeah. Amen.
Some consider him the statesman of Pentecostalism. Amen. You know, he's the head of the Four Square Gospel, and he spoke at the General Council of the Assemblies of God recently, and this is what he said. I want you to listen. American churchgoers cannot ignore the reality that hundreds of Christ's followers in the Middle East are dying for their faith.
That's right.
Christians in the United States, especially the young, will face persecution to the point of martyrdom. That was his prediction.
That's right.
Young Christians in America, even to the point of martyrdom. He said, my prayer is for an awakening in our land right now.
Amen.
But the evil that is sweeping over our world will increase.
Amen.
And then he told them, we must have the mighty Holy Spirit working in our lives, this mighty baptism in the Holy Spirit, to bring us into a deeper life of discipleship. Some years ago, a Roman Catholic cardinal by the name of Francis George, he's dead now, but he has been quoted, I can't tell you how many times I've read this quote, But he's been quoted many times for this statement, perhaps prophetic. I want you to listen to this. He said, "I expect to die in my bed. My successor will die in prison, and his successor will die a martyr in the public square." We can't stick our heads in the ground. A rising wave of intolerance towards Christian faith is coming our way. A lukewarm, casual church is going to capitulate to the pressure to conform. And it will accept many sinful behaviors as normal expressions of love. It's already happening in many of the mega churches across America. Already, those leaders, those pastors are saying that, you know, homosexuals should be able to marry and they should be able to love the one that they love, you know, marry the one that they love. Churches are accepting this more and more, more and more. They're going to capitulate. And what's going to happen is a great weeding out is going to take place. It's already started in America. You know, the church in America is soft and fat and lazy. And this shaking is going to produce a purging and a purified church. It's going to be a purging and a purification of the church. The Lord said judgment would begin at the house of God.
Amen.
And we have to expect that we will not be exempt. Look, right now, our persecutions are Mickey Mouse, really and truly. We're not going through what the Christians are going through in Syria right now. You want to hear a bizarre turn of events, one of the most bizarre twists of events you can imagine. The United States has largely abandoned the Christians in Syria. They have not even been included in the mass exodus of refugees. They have been left behind to be captured, raped, tortured, killed by ISIS, because the Muslim refugees won't allow the Christians to come along with them. And America has steadfastly refused help to these Christians in Syria. Guess who's helping them? Russia. Russia. Putin has said, "We are going to Syria to help the Christians there. We're going to stand up for the Christians and help them and defend them, or they're going to be exterminated in Syria." Can you believe that? America turns its back on them while Russia says, "We'll help the Christians." Look, you know God's in control, right? God will make our enemies to help us if necessary. God is in control, beloved. So our response to all of this, let's not be oblivious. Let's realize dark clouds are gathering. Let's realize we're not going to pick up a persecution complex.
No.
We're not going to be foolish either. And we are not going to be afraid.
Amen.
Because the Lord is with us. The Lord is for us. Amen. And whatever comes our way, it's going to be by the Lord's allowing it to come. And it's going to have a purging effect on the church. And I believe what will be left will be a powerful and pure church, powerful in God.
Amen.
I believe that coming along with many of the things that we're going to see will be an increase in Holy Ghost power in the church.
Yes,
I don't know how many of you remember David Wilkerson,
but
I listened this past week to a message he preached in 1973. And in this message, he said, "God has given me two great visions in my life. One of those visions is what sent me to the streets of New York to begin a teen challenge ministry, which today is in over 150 countries of the world. Very powerful ministry that reaches multitudes of lives." He said, "The second vision that I saw, I'm going to share tonight." And that was the message that he had on this old message I listened to. He said, "I see five great calamities coming to the United States. One will be a worldwide recession. that will affect the financial markets, not just of America, but of the entire world. I see the collapse of a world economy. And this is what he said, Christians, it is time to get your financial house in order. And I believe that's a message for all of us. Yes. Get your financial house in order. Clear up your bills. Pay off what you owe. Be a man or a woman of integrity. Get right financially. Get solvent. If you have to cut back expenses, whatever it takes, get your financial house in order. Secondly, he said, I see nature having increasing labor pains. And of course, you know, that would be an increase in things like earthquakes, tornadoes, hurricane, increase in frequency, increase in intensity. He said, thirdly, I see America being baptized in immorality, increasing immorality, pornography so widespread. This was his words. I wrote it down. It was so good. He said, I see the day when Playboy magazine will be considered puritanical.
Wow.
Well, guess what just happened? Playboy magazine says they're no longer going to publish nude centerfolds in their magazine. They're going to do away with all of that. It's just going to be a magazine with articles in it because their nudity is nothing compared to what people can get for free on the internet. The vilest, most filthy forms of pornography are there for public display at the click of a mouse. And mankind's appetite for pornography will become so deep, so pronounced, and so depraved that Playboy would be considered passé. That's just happened, beloved. He predicted it in 1973. He also predicted increasing rebellion in the homes of Americans, where children would rebel against parents. But who would have dreamed that it would become what it is today? Defiant, rebellious, selfish.
Amen.
Children without thankfulness. The Bible tells us that in the last days, that perilous times would come, men would be lovers of their own selves without natural affection. Even the normal affection of child for parent or parent for child would be missing. And then he said, the fifth thing that he saw was that a persecution madness towards Christians would grip America. That there will come a day when Christians in America would be persecuted for their faith. And many of the persecutors and accusers would come from right within their own families. We just read those verses in the Bible in Matthew chapter 10, didn't we?
Yeah.
That's what the Lord said. Here's what Paul said, our text, 2 Timothy 3:12. Yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution.
Amen.
We believe that it will come to American shores.
Amen.
It's not a matter of if, but a matter of when, and a matter of just how severe it will be here in America.
Amen.
But be prepared for your rights to be suppressed. Don't be shocked.
Yep.
Don't even be saddened. Expect it to happen. I expect that churches will be threatened with the loss of, you know, tax-exempt status. I believe that's already an endangered species. One of the most prominent presidential candidates running right now for the Republican side has already said that he believes tax-exempt status to nonprofit organizations should be removed. I expect that to come. I expect that those who preach against homosexuality could be accused of hate speech. You know, if you say it's sinful, that it could be considered hate speech. It's not like we go out on the streets and preach, you know, hellfire and damnation to all the homosexuals, because let's face it, there are far more heterosexuals living in fornication than there are homosexuals. And guess what? They're all headed to the same hell. The same hell, according to the Bible. Because heterosexual fornication is just as soul damning. It's time, I do believe, for the church to get its spiritual life in order. And as Billy Graham said, you know, you need to go back to the basics. Make sure of your own walk with God.
Amen.
Get back into your Bible. Be a man, be a woman of prayer. Straighten up, because dark clouds are just ahead.
Amen.
The Lord also said, lo, I am with you always. He'll never leave us or forsake us. So do not be afraid, beloved. Do not be afraid. Be a man of faith, a woman of faith, a man, a woman, standing fast on the Word of God. And if you are persecuted, then remember, you're in good company. I'm going to close with this passage, Matthew 5. Let's change our way of thinking. Matthew 5, verse 10. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake,
Amen.
For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely. For my sake, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Huh. Let's change our mind about some of these things. Here's what the Lord said. Are you being persecuted? Are you really being persecuted? Now remember, Peter said, don't let any of you be persecuted for being a wrongdoer, you know, a thief, or, you know, and so forth. If you're going to be persecuted, let's let it be for righteousness' sake, because you're standing up for the truth, for the light. And 1 Peter 4:14, if you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are you, blessed are you, he says, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On your on their part he's evil spoken of, on your part he is glorified. Hey, blessed are you. If you are persecuted for righteousness' sake, be exceedingly glad, for so persecuted they the prophets. They persecuted the prophets, they persecuted the apostles, they persecuted the Lord. Why would we be exempt? I remember hearing one pastor, a friend of mine, we were talking about persecution coming, and he said, bring it on, I welcome it. I don't know that I'm ready to welcome it, but I understood his point.
Amen.
Because it will bring a real purging and cleansing to the body of Christ. And many, many, many professing Christians will turn their back on the Lord in that day. Now, beloved, I want you to listen to me. If you can't overcome right now, if you can't overcome right now, the slightest things can't overcome one another.
Amen.
Fall out with each other.
Yes.
Mad at this one. Won't talk to that one. I'm not going because, you know, this one said this, or the pastor didn't welcome me today. Or how are we going to stand in a day of persecution, of real persecution, when we let stupidity separate us? I carry our feelings around. We're so sensitive, sensitive little feelings. It's time to grow up, beloved.
Yes.
Time to grow up.
Amen.
Because those storm clouds on the horizon, they're coming our way.
Amen.
Well, Father, we pray today that you will help us one and all to live as godly men, godly women. Lord, let none of this fill our hearts with fear. But Lord, let faith arise in our hearts. Help us to recognize that Your people through the centuries, through the millenniums, have suffered persecution, and we have been exempt for a long time. And Lord, should you allow these things to come in our direction, then we pray that you, Lord, would give us the courage we need to be bold in Christ, to stand up for the truth, and to speak the truth in love. In love, Lord, always in love, always with compassion. Lord, I do pray for us, for this body, and for the church across America and across Europe. Lord, I pray that you'll help us to grow up. Grow up and grow deep. Deep in you, deep in your word. Lord, we pray it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, amen. Praise God.